Okay, welcome to our Kol Seder. Today we are learning the Masechta Beitza, and I know that in many Gemaras, Yom HaSukkah and Rosh Hashanah appear together. And many of them, they actually appear Rosh Hashanah, then Yuma, then Sukkah. Of course, Rosh Hashanah comes first, 10 days later is Yom Kippur, and then 4 days later, later that night, 5 days later, will be Sukkot. So why do we in this HaKol B'Seder change that order? Is because we're going with the true order of the Talmud, which, as I mentioned when we did Zeroyim, is in the order of the size of the Masechtas. It makes sense to put Yom HaSukkah and Rosh Hashanah together. There are 3 holidays that take place within a few weeks of each other. But again, the sizes of the Masechtas are what determine the orders. This makes sense also with the works of Shlomo are listed as Mishlei, Koheles, and then Shir HaShirim. And Rashi writes in the Gemara, it seems to me, Rashi, that Shlomo wrote Shir HaShirim when he was old. The opinion of Chazal is that Shlomo wrote Shir HaShirim when he was young. So why is it listed last? It's because Mishlei has 31 chapters, Koheles has 12, and Shir HaShirim only has 8. So we see even in the Talmud already, in the Talmud itself, they list orders by the size of books. Okay, so that's why Beitza comes after Sukkah. Sukkah has 5 chapters and Beitza has 5 chapters, but Rosh Hashanah only has 4 chapters. Okay, let's get into Beitza. Beitza means an egg, and the Masechta is Sukkah and Beitza are 2 of only 4 Masechtas in Shas, where the first word of the Masechta is the name of the Masechta. It's very rare, right? Okay, so, and it's the first 2 so far. So, 2 in a row. So Beitza starts off with Beitza Shnol to be Yomtiv and starts off with the laws of Muktza on Yomtiv. Okay, a Beitza, an egg that's laid on Yomtiv, becomes very prohibited because it'll become permitted after Yomtiv. That's known in Halacha as a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. For instance, if a treif egg, an egg that's not even kosher, mixes up with 60 kosher eggs, and you have 61 eggs in front of you, you can make an omelet with all 61 on Yontif, because things are buckle, they're nullified in 60. That's assuming that an egg is not a Dover Sheba Minyan, but let's assume it's not, for an argument's sake, and that so all 61 eggs can be eaten. But if a Muktza egg, if an egg that was laid on Yontif mixes with 60 other eggs, none of those eggs can be eaten on Yontif, not even one of them. Because why should I rely on statistical issues regarding whether I think I'm eating the bad egg or not? I can't even eat one of them because all 61 of them will be permitted right after Yontif, right? Even on the second day of Yontif. So this is known as Dover Sheish Lamatirin. Muktza will be permitted after Yontif is over, of course. The reason why an egg laid on the first day of Yontif outside of Israel is permitted on the second day of Yontif has to do with the leniencies that we might take outside of Israel on the second day of Yontif. And the Seches Beitza actually tells us why we keep 2 days of Yontif outside of Israel, because the determination of the days of the month is made in Israel by witnesses who spot the moon. And although the moon can be seen by everyone around the world, But outside of Israel, the word might not get around quickly enough. The Seches Rosh Hashanah is very busy with this as well. We'll see next time that they used to light fires on the tops of mountains to determine that it was Rosh Chodesh. But there was a lot of confusion at the time because there were many Jews who didn't accept this mode of determining Rosh Chodesh, who used to confound them and confuse them. And what you had was people observing Yom Kippur on a Friday and other people observing Yom Kippur on a Shabbos, right? You may want to ask, why don't we keep 2 days of Yom Kippur? Well, it may just be too difficult to fast for 2 days. But there were some communities in Europe, the Hasidic Ashkenaz in the 11th, 12th, 13th centuries, that did keep 2 days of Yom Kippur. And even the Talmud tells us that Rava kept 2 days of Yom Kippur on the 10th and on the 11th. Okay, the reason why we keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah even in Israel is because the confusion regarding Rosh Chodesh, of which day was Rosh Chodesh, will be cleared up later in the month, but Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh. So the confusion in Bavel or in Australia of which day was actually chosen as Rosh Chodesh exists in the far reaches of Israel as well. They might not be might not have heard in Haifa which day was chosen for Rosh Chodesh / Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so these are the issues of the first chapter. And the general principle is that things are permitted on Yom Tov for food preparation, in not just cooking and roasting and frying, not just on the fire, but any type of preparation, even let's say grinding pepper, is permitted on Yom Tov, even the first day of Yom Tov, as long as the one eating it feels that he will enhance his Yom Tov joy, his Simchas Yom Tov, by doing this work now. Someone is so particular about their pepper that they prefer it ground very fresh right into their food, or they prefer their Parmesan cheese ground right into their food right on the spot, then they can grind these things. Do these things that normally we wouldn't do on Yom Tov, certainly not on Shabbos. On Shabbos, all your food has to be prepared in advance. Right, so that is the nature of what's permitted on Yom Tov when it comes to food preparation. And since we're allowed to carry to enhance food preparation, we're also allowed to carry for other things like a key or a tissue or a book, but it has to be for some type of purpose. You can't be just carrying something that's muktzah, something that's forbidden, or carrying without any purpose at all. That's why the Machzis HaShekel, one of the commentaries to the Shulchan Aruch, says not to carry bread to throw in the water on Rosh Hashanah, because such carrying serves no purpose at all. We're not throwing sins into the water by symbolically feeding fish with these loaves of bread in the water. It's baltashchis. You're wasting food. And it might even be a chilul Hashem. I remember seeing a lot of bread in the water at the Hudson River, and people are wondering, why are the Jews throwing all these loaves and challahs in the water, whole loaves? And it just pollutes, and it doesn't look good. So that carrying would require some tshuva on Rosh Hashanah itself. Okay, so the second chapter talks about the laws of Erev Tavshilin, of what happens if Yom Tov falls on a Friday. How do you prepare for Shabbos? Because you're only allowed to prepare on Yom Tov for the day itself. We can't even prepare on Yom Tov for the second day of Yom Tov. Of course not. First day of Yom Tov is the Torah law. The second day of Yom Tov is a rabbinic protection of that Torah law. Okay, so the second parak starts off with the laws of Erev Tavshilin. Basically, Erev means to mix. So just like in an Erev Chatzeros, where I mix the various domains so I can carry from one domain to another, because they now, by mixing them, they become the same domain. So too, I am mixing the preparation for Yom Tov, before Yom Tov starts, with the preparation for Shabbos, by putting aside something baked and something cooked in advance. And this way, I can now prepare on Yom Tov, because I'm just continuing the food that was prepared before, and continuing to prepare for Shabbos. Okay, the third perek is called Ein Tzadin, and it talks about things that we're not allowed to do before Yom Tov, because that could have been not allowed to do on Yom Tov, because that could have been done before Yom Tov. Let's say someone doesn't have food, and he goes, "I want to trap a deer. I want to hunt. I want to go fishing." Well, that should have been done before Yom Tov, just like it could be done before Shabbos. In other words, the fish will taste the same if you fish for it before Yom Tov and keep it in water, which it can be done, right? The bread won't taste the same unless you bake it on Yom Tov. So you can bake on Yom Tov, you can make a cake on Yom Tov, because this thing couldn't be done with the same freshness before. But hunting for things and trapping things could have been done before Yom Tov. By the way, Shechita is allowed on Yom Tov. You're allowed to slaughter the animal, because an animal slaughtered before Yom Tov doesn't taste the same as an animal slaughtered on Yom Tov. And then you have to do a lot of preparations and slicing and salting and things like that, and cleaning on Yom Tov. Today, we don't shecht on Yom Tov because we have refrigeration. But before refrigeration, this was done, certainly on chickens. Okay, the next two chapters talk about tircha on Yom Tov. And we'll see that later on Chol HaMoed. Tircha means extra work, like a lot of labor. Shouldn't be done on Chol HaMoed, certainly not on Yom Tov. Okay? So it talks about the various tirchas that we should not do on Yom Tov. On Chol HaMoed, we're allowed to actually do work if the thing would be lost, if we lose a lot of money by not working. It's difficult enough to take off on all the days of Yom Tov and Shabbos, and leave early in the wintertime for Shabbos. But Chol HaMoed is another 6-8 days to add that we can't do any work never mind, we would never have any vacation days, but we'd possibly never hold on to a job, right? But if we work for ourselves, then it's better to take off on Chol HaMoed, as we'll see when we learn Moed Katan. But on Yontif, it's not a question of something that's lost. We have to lose a job over not working on Yontif, just like we have to lose a job over not working on Shabbos. Chol HaMoed will be the exception. We'll talk about that when we get up to Moed Katan. This closes out our discussion of Maseches Beitzah. It's a Masechta named after a food, an egg, and it's because of an egg laid on Yontif. Couldn't, even though you can see that the egg might be laid tomorrow, but it's something that we're not involved in the preparation. Yom Tov and Shabbos are such special days that we should prepare for it in advance. Right? A life needs to be prepared. Those who prepare on Erev Shabbos eat on Shabbos. Those who prepare during this life have a beautiful afterlife, because Shabbos is like an afterlife, just as Yom Tov is. Okay, we'll continue with Mirtz Hashem on Tuesday with Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Hakol Beseder, thank you for joining me, and have a great day, everybody. Kol Tov.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.